My dearly beloved, we read at the beginning of the gospel selection today, taken from the 24th chapter of St. Matthew's gospel, the words of our Lord, "When you see the abomination of desolation in the holy place, which was predicted by Daniel the prophet, then you know the time is at hand." What is this abomination of desolation? Scripture scholars, fathers of the church, apply it to several different things. One of them, for example, when Pilate put up an image of Caesar within the temple and brought in the Roman standards into the temple, that was an abomination. But many apply it, including St. Alphonsus Liguori, to a time when the holy sacrifice of the Mass will be taken away and will be replaced with a sacrilegious perversion of the Mass. And I believe that we have witnessed that in our own time, and that this is a sign of the end of the world, and again, the coming of the end of the world, the latter times. Again, many of the fathers of the church say, although the abomination of desolation spoken of by our Lord and by Daniel can be applied to several things, it especially applies to that mockery of the Mass, which will be put up in the churches in place of the holy sacrifice of the Mass. So I thought it would be good for us this morning to review why we reject the Novus Ordo Missae. Sad to say, I have heard of individuals practicing their faith, exclusively attending the Trident and Latin Mass, and then gradually, maybe due to lack of conviction, going over and going back to the Novus Ordo Missae. And in some cases, it is a younger generation that never really understood, perhaps, what is wrong with the Novus Ordo. Why do we reject it? First of all, let us reflect on the fact that modernism, as condemned by Pope St. Pius X in the early years of the 20th century, modernism manifests itself in different ways, but especially modernism was seen in the 20th century in, I think, two areas in particular. One of them was in scripture exegesis, explanation of what the scriptures mean, where the modernists began to minimize stories, for example, in the Old Testament as being merely fiction and being merely put forth to teach a lesson, but didn't really happen. And we especially saw modernism in the area of the liturgy. In fact, long before Vatican II, not only in this country, but also in Europe, there were individual priests who experimented in the liturgy, had the priest facing the people, having different things that eventually became part of the Novus Ordo Missae. And this led Pope Pius XII to write a masterpiece, the encyclical Mediator Dei, I believe in 1947. But in that encyclical, it's very interesting when you read it, because there's a section where he talks about there are people who want this. There are people who want to replace the Latin with the vernacular, or to have the priest facing the people. And the Pope goes through several different things that individuals were pushing for in a change in the liturgy, and he condemns them. And it's very interesting because that is exactly what they did when Vatican II came. In the 1960s, it began under John the 23rd with the elimination of the prayers after Mass, what we call the Leonine prayers, the three Hail Marys, Hail Holy Queen, St. Michael prayer. And also the name of St. Joseph was added in the canon, which was the beginning of changes. And then there were the epistle and gospel were read in English during Mass. Gradually you had the lay commentators and lay people distributing communion. You had the Mass gradually changed into English. And eventually, in 1969, there was a completely new liturgy called the Novus Ordo Missae, replacing the traditional Trident and Latin Mass. if we look at this Novus Ordo Missae, which means new order of the Mass, we find that it was authored by a man named Annibale Bonini. And Bonini was a Monsignor, eventually a bishop and archbishop, who later on was shown to have been a Freemason. And he was the one behind, the main one behind these changes in the liturgy. And he wanted a Mass that would be acceptable to Protestants. And Paul VI, who promulgated the Novus Ordo Missae, wanted a Mass that would be acceptable to Protestants in order to bring about this ecumenism, which was the hallmark of Vatican II. And so 6 Protestant ministers were invited to come to the Vatican and to help to formulate this new Mass. And what did this group do that put together this new Mass? They eliminated the idea of sacrifice. And if you read the introduction in the new Missal, there's no mention of the word of the Mass as being a propitiatory sacrifice. That concept of the Mass, the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross, that concept was completely eliminated. And now the Mass was called, it was redefined, and it was called the Lord's Supper, the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the renewal of the Last Supper on Holy Thursday rather than the renewal of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross on Good Friday. And since it's now referred to as a meal instead of a sacrifice, they replaced the altar with a wooden table. And the priest was there facing the people, and now the entire focus of the Mass became the people, the community, instead of God. Someone told me an interesting story fairly recently, and this is about a Catholic woman when she was a teenager. So here she had her parents recognized early on what was wrong in their church. They stopped going to the Novus Ordo, went to the traditional Mass. And so she was more a young age at the time, so she was raised in going to the traditional Mass. And then one day, as a teenager, she said to her father, "I don't want to go to Mass anymore. I don't get anything out of it." And he looked at her and he said, "You don't get anything out of it. It's not about you. It's about God." And so that, to me, that little story, and that really struck her. And she realized, oh, I didn't think of it that way. And that little story, to me, explains the whole change of thought behind the Novus Ordo. It became all about the people, the community. And now they have this handshake, which is so out of place, because it's done after the consecration, when our Lord is supposedly on the altar, and people looking around, talking to one another, shaking hands and so forth in the church. So a complete perversion of what is called the kiss of peace, which you have witnessed at a solemn high Mass, conveying to us the love of our divine Lord and the charity we should have for one another. That has been totally perverted into this handshake that they have now in the Novus Ordo. We had the entire liturgy was modified. And it's interesting what they did, these individuals that put forth this Novus Ordo, is they took the traditional Mass and they completely changed it. So if you looked at a Novus Ordo, you would see somewhat the structure of the Mass. One of the things they did was to take the orations and go through the orations and keep the orations, but cross out, eliminate any concepts that, as one modernist liturgist called, any concepts of negative theology. What did he mean by that? Anything that talks about God's wrath, punishment of sin, hell, everlasting fire, anything like that had to be eliminated. Anything referring to the world as being opposed to God, the necessity of detachment from the spirit of the world, rejection of the spirit of the world, that was eliminated. Prayers for the departed, anything that would bring about ecumenism was put in there. The merits of the saints, any reference to miracles, all of those things were left out. They changed the offertory prayers, instead of now referring to the host when it is offered as this spotless host, because we think forth to, we look forward to that matter, the bread and wine, being changed into the body and blood of Christ, and now it's simply the work of human hands. A complete change of concept. And then the canon of the Mass, the most solemn part, was no longer recited in silence. Now the canon is out loud, and of course in the language of the people. And right after the consecration, which there no longer were the traditional genuflections, I think they just preserved two genuflections and got rid of all the others. And now, right after the consecration, there's some kind of acclamation of all the people saying out loud some acclamation when it is the most solemn, quiet time of the Mass. And of course, the communion. Communion in the hand, standing, no longer kneeling, a complete change. We could go into many other parts of the Novus Ordo, which we do not have time to do now. But I would just summarize by calling to mind what Cardinal Ottaviani and Cardinal Bacci did in 1969, is they sent a letter to Paul VI with a theological study by Catholic theologians decrying all of the problems with the Novus Ordo Missae. And one of the things that's interesting is the cardinal said that this new Mass represents a tragic departure, a startling departure from the theology of the Mass as taught by the Council of Trent. And again, that is the idea that the Mass is a sacrifice, the unbloody renewal of the sacrifice of our Lord on the cross. And we know what has happened with the Novus Ordo Missae. There's been a wholesale loss of faith, especially loss of belief in the Holy Eucharist, in the real presence of Christ. Now, why is the Mass in Latin? Why has it been for many, many centuries in Latin, since earliest times? Because Latin is a dead language, so the meaning of the words will not change, and therefore the words which express doctrine which cannot change, the meaning of the words will not change, and thus it preserves the meaning of the doctrines. Also, Latin, because it's wherever you go, the Mass was in Latin, it was a beautiful mark of the unity of the Church. And you could go to Italy or Germany or Spain, another country where you don't know the language, and go into a Catholic church and the Mass was everywhere the same. So it was that beautiful mark of unity. Also, getting back to my story from earlier, the Mass is not for the people. We attend the Mass and we join with the priest and offer it to God, but the Mass is the worship of God. And there is that beautiful mystery of the Mass, where you go there and the priest is facing away from the people because he's offering the Mass to God, and you don't understand all the Latin. Most of the people do not. And that lends to it, adds to the mystery of the sacrifice, that it is worship that is offered to God. So let us appreciate the knowledge that we have been given to have the true holy sacrifice of the Mass, to recognize the Novus Ordo as an abomination and to reject it. Some of you have had the opportunity, having attended the Trident and Latin Mass for decades now, some of you for 40 years or so, and then maybe for a funeral or on some occasion, you find yourself, when there's good reason, passively present at a Novus Ordo. And you look at that and witness that and realize the grace that we have been given to recognize it and to leave it. Sadly, those modern Catholics who still go to it, over time, they're losing their faith. Many of them have already lost it. Many of the younger generation just leave the church altogether, want nothing to do with it, because they recognize it as empty, as a farce, as no longer the worship of God. Let us then give thanks for the grace that has been given to us and always treasure and assist at with the greatest devotion and show our appreciation to our Lord for the holy sacrifice of the Mass. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.